Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:05, February the 17th, I believe. February the 17th, 2011, and we've already gone through half of February. I hope that some of y'all are still not paying for Valentine's Day for little mistakes you made, like forgetting to get cards, flowers, candy, guns, diamonds. Carl and the Bot. Good morning. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we are streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com. We have a very, very full show today.
Thanks to some people.
Thanks to some people. Linda's on assignment and getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bot. That's tonight at 6 p.m., and she's got other big announcements to make. She made her first announcement yesterday is that, you know, the Rat Pack is back, is coming in from Las Vegas, and it's a touring group that comes in through the Civic Center and that series there, and they've asked Linda to open for their show. And it's going to be, oh, yeah.
Yes, I already have tickets.
You already have tickets. Well, she's going to talk tonight. She's going to start giving away, letting people enter and have an opportunity to win two free tickets and then join us for photo opportunities. And we're going to talk to people about a party afterwards, you know, the whole thing. But anybody that wants to get a set of tickets, if you call the convention center, the ticket office, and you mention On the Spot with Linda Bot, you get like a 20% discount on your tickets. So that's a pretty good deal. Today, my guest host for the whole day from 7 to 9 is Mayor Missy MacArthur. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning out there.
And you brought legions here.
I brought some very exciting people here in our community. I thought it was time for some positive news, and today with us we have Kimberly Dunn, who is starting a new project in Redding called The Crossing, and with her is Autumn Phillips, who is a kind of a support provider of monies to The Crossing. So Kimberly can tell us all about The Crossing. It's very exciting.
Thank you very much. We're happy to be here. The Crossing is Reading's newest youth and family resource center, and our goal is to provide a space that is a low-risk space and a haven for teens and for seventh grade to seniors in high school and their families. We hope to provide after-school programming, including tutoring, counseling, games, structured play, and then as well as family programming on Fridays, Saturdays, possibly Sunday nights, that will bring a sense of bonding for the whole entire family.
And she's also helping at-risk youth in our community.
Okay. And your trusty partner here.
This is Autumn Phillips. She's 15 years old and one of the up-and-coming entrepreneurs of our community, and she's putting together a fundraiser for us on March 19th. Autumn, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Me personally, I've always been like more ambitious of a kid than the rest of my family. You know, from everything, from if I had an idea, it would be like huge. And doing this show has always been like something I've wanted to do. I've always wanted to do something like this.
And what is the show that you're putting on for The Crossing, Autumn?
I'm putting on a variety show where many talents in Reading, I chose them, and they're coming together and putting on a show to help raise $40,000 for The Crossing.
And so far, how much have you raised?
$2,500.
Which is pretty amazing, Carl, for a 15-year-old.
That's pretty amazing for a 40-year-old.
Yeah, maybe Linda Bottle introduced the
the
event.
You need to ask. Yeah, I need to ask Linda for that. I don't agree to things for Linda. I learned that 3 or 4 years ago. Even though that she, you know, would do things like this.
Of course.
Nor does she give her approval for me.
And that's probably why you had a nice Valentine's Day.
That's right. That's why we get along so well. Okay, now you went to this variety show, and how many acts do you have in it so far?
About 10 or 11.
10 or 11. Okay, now are there any of these like knife throwing acts?
No, but we have different things like PhD Martial Arts is coming out to do a kung fu demo, and we have different things from, we found a rapper to a dulcimer player to dancers, singers, a skit.
A dulcimer player, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is this one of those ones that won the prize out there at one of these contests they had for fiddling and dulcimer playing and all that?
Actually, he's a personal friend of ours. He Garrett Biggers, who played at the Cascade.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. He's really good. So you're lining all this up. You're one of seven children.
Mm-hmm.
So are they? Do they try to keep up with you, or do you just tell them what to do all the time? You're the oldest, the youngest, or where do you fall in that?
I'm the oldest girl and the third oldest.
Okay, so you just give a lot of orders then, right? Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. You know, you're the senior. You do this. Does it work like that?
If I try hard enough for it to.
There's six others right now listening, going, "Oh yeah, okay." Okay, you made your first big bucks by, you bred your dog.
Yeah.
So you've always been ambitious like that, saying it's time to go do things. Is that it?
Yeah.
Now, where's the entrepreneur, where's the variety show going to be?
It's going to be at the Crossing, the actual building. We're going to...
What's the location there? I've never been there.
It's 2613 Bocelli Lane. We took over the former Club H2O.
Oh, okay,
so
I know where that
formerly
is.
Formerly known as Club Ice, right?
Formerly known as Club Ice, right.
It's right next down to the, it's down by the Cycle Gear and the quilting shop for those people. That
Bowling Alley. On
is there a bowling alley down there,
yep,
too?
Behind Lumberjack's restaurant.
Yep. Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is.
It's right down from that. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, we got to take a break. So when's this going to happen?
March 19th.
March 19th.
How much are the tickets going to be?
I think we decided 15 for the first one, 10 for the second one, and 750 for the rest. Like
for
like
a family?
Yeah, for a family.
Okay.
Well, good.
All right. Hey, well, thank you very much, Autumn. And it's good to see people like you, younger people like you, that want to succeed.
Right.
But also want to help their community. And the last thing before we take a break, the big thing is, too, is that teenagers don't have a lot to do here in Redding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah. I think basically the only thing to do is go to the mall or the movie theater.
Wow, that huge mall.
Yeah.
Takes you like, 5 minutes to roller skate around there?
Yeah, about.
Okay. All right. Hey, Autumn, thank you so much for what you're doing. And thank you, Kim, for this. We need to have something like this for our youth. And something else that is going to help them, give them a fighting chance there. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight. Stuff goes at 6 o'clock. February the 17th, 7:16 in the morning. Let's do weather, bad Bob.
Well, Carl, as we look at the radar, we're seeing actually some snow and up in the foothills. Could get down to around 1,000 feet. High today in Redding near 41, and the winds out of the south between 5 and 8 miles an hour. Little or no snow expected on the ground right now, 39 degrees. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
A great place to go for lunch, dinner, and this weekend. You know, you go out there, they've got brunches and dinners and great food, ambiance. They've got, the wait staff makes you feel just like you're at home.
It's a great place.
Yeah, it is. Hey, this weekend on February 20th, from Sunday, from noon to 4 p.m., is a wedding extravaganza. That's right, a wedding extravaganza at the Redding Convention Center. It's the oldest wedding show in Shasta County and the last one of the season. You can even win a $1,000 honeymoon trip grand prize. You know, Bob wanted that. He wanted that bad. But since he's already married, I guess it doesn't count. But you have to be present to win there, though, for that.
I will be down there helping Don with his remote broadcast of the bridal show.
Don Schulman.
Yes, it'll be interesting. The last one was a bit tight because of the venue, but this will be fun.
Well, I tell you what, the last one was just completely overrun with brides-to-be and their families.
Yeah, everywhere you look.
They're lined up 200 people outside just to get in. But this one's going to be at the Redding Convention Center, so it's going to be a lot easier. This is up Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. All right. Our guest host, Mayor Missy MacArthur. And we want to finish up and talk a little bit more about the plan that you have to help. Right. So,
Kim Burden.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well,
maybe tell us what inspired you to do this.
Well, originally I was inspired to have a youth summer camp. I'm back in school for my second half of life career change, and I'm majoring in psychology and outdoor leadership. And I'm studying the psychology of play.
And that's at Simpson?
At Simpson University, correct. So I spent, two summers ago, I spent the summer at Camp Henry in Michigan, 9 weeks shadowing all of the people who run the camp, the directors of everything. And I thought, what an amazing way to offer hope, where these kids could come together, and sometimes it was the only time in their life that they could have a week of normalcy in their lives. So we were just so excited about everything that was happening there. And for the last 10 years here in Shasta County, I've been participating in houseboats camps for teenagers. And over the years, I've had teenagers come to me and say, Kimber, we just want you to know that going on this houseboats trip is what kept me from wanting to commit suicide during this past school year. It was the one thing that I had to look forward to. And so realizing that the kids need adult role models in their lives, and they need to have fun, and they need to have a low-risk environment where they can flourish and be themselves and grow, just really was on my heart. And so I was going to do the summer camp, and it turned out to be Camp in a Box instead, which is The Crossing. And the youth are calling it 18,000 square feet of cool factor. So here we are.
That's just wonderful. It's such a positive alternative for the, to coin a phrase, to our community, and changing it from club eyes to a positive youth experience.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just
awesome. Every thought, for the most part, associated with that club has been negative.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can turn it around like that and make it into a positive sense, which is what you've done,
mm-hmm.
and we get behind that 100%. So if there's anything we can do to help, you know, please let us know. You know, I think that Autumn and her endeavor with this is great. I mean, $2,500. She's 15. She's collected already. She'll probably get double that. And looking at her and looking at the intensity on her face, I, you know, better watch out. There's going to be, you know, seven kids in that family out washing cars and everything else.
Absolutely. She's amazing. We actually have an anonymous donor who has agreed to match what Autumn raises up to $20,000. So we're really excited. And anybody out there who would like to be a corporate sponsor for this event, please feel free to give us a call. Our number is 255-4544. And if you would like tickets or more information, the website is www.the-crossing.org.
Okay. Well, perfect. Keep us informed about what's going on in this. I mean, as you get closer to doing things and opening it up, let us put the word out like this.
Absolutely. Okay? We really need a lot of help from the trades.
Well, I tell you what, we appreciate that. So thank you so much for what you're doing and for what you're doing for our community.
Thank you.
This is really great. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Botland is not here, but we have Mayor Missy MacArthur. Good morning, Missy.
Good morning, Carl.
Okay, we come back. We got a couple of things we want to talk about before we get into our next guest. We're talking about veterans and honor. Fort 1960, 7:25 in the morning on February the 17th. Good morning. Carl and Linda Botland is on assignment, but my guest host is Mayor
Missy MacArthur.
You do that pause, and everybody kind of leans forward to see if I'm actually going to remember the name,
you
but I always do.
You keep telling me that.
That's where you do that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. We just ate there yesterday, had lunch, had a great lunch, but they have breakfast specials every Monday through Friday. $3.99 ham and eggs, all the way up to $5.99 New York steak and eggs. A steak and eggs breakfast for $5.99 includes hash browns, two eggs, and toast. What a great deal. Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. It's cold out there. It's a day to get a good breakfast. That's the place to go. It's a local guy, local company. Lumberjacks. Now, questions that have been flowing through the chat room here. Missy, this is something about a mayor's cabinet. And I'm just, what over my head, what exactly is the mayor's cabinet?
They are a group of people that have good brains that help me with tough decisions. So I bring them together and say, what do you think of this subject? What do you think of that subject? For instance, I brought them together to discuss about charter versus general law city. And they consist of Arch Pugh, Aaron Ryan, Mike Ashby, Mike Holmeyer, Judy Salter, Melinda Brown, Emily Young, and I don't think I'm forgetting other people, hopefully not. So it's a good cross-section of our community in terms of their political beliefs and leanings.
Okay, so it's a conservative through a liberal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you just, it's somebody you just talked to.
It's a think tank. It's a think tank for me.
Okay. I can't even begin to tell you. We just got a few minutes, but before we have to go on a break, the raises. That seems to be the big thing here in our chat room, the raises.
It certainly was Tuesday night as well at City Council. And
can you explain the reasoning behind the fact?
Yeah, I can. The reality is that, especially the electric utility, that's something that we need to preserve. And I don't know if you've been aware, but PG&E's been having to fix wires all over the North State, whereas the City of Reading in this storm has done really well, and our rate of keeping everything up and running is like 99.something%. So compared to PG&E, you're really lucky to have Reading Power because it's consistent, it's there, you turn on the lights. And I can tell you, as a single mom living in the county with a four-year-old, when the power went out for 2 weeks and having to take all your food out of the freezer and get it farmed out in other people's freezers whose freezers are chock full, it's really a blessing to have consistent power. So the raises that we talked about on Tuesday night were basically three or four people out of 850 people in the City of Reading, employees.
Were they the...
So it's kind of micromanaging in a sense. I mean, we're doing this in a very open and transparent manner. We're bringing this out to the public so that they know what's going on. We aren't trying to hide it. You know, we're dealing with it. And at some point, I would hope the public realizes that we, as the electeds, are in fact doing our job and trying to monitor the business of the taxpayer in a responsible manner.
But there's, you know, as I said, a lot of consternation about raises right now when the city's going to be losing even more money in the next budget.
I understand. It flies in the face of what seems like should happen. But if you can't attract a lineman from PG&E.
One of the city council members was talking about PG&E through half the council meeting, having them kind of mixed up.
I don't know.
No, okay.
I don't remember that. But, we need to be able to get people in a bucket in winds and rains and storms like we've had, and they're dangerous jobs.
All right, we've got to take a break here. Our guest, of course, is Mayor Missy MacArthur. When we come back, we've got some guests, but we're going to continue throughout the rest of the show here with Missy, answering the hard questions, which she is not afraid to do. Carl, I'm on the bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 7:33 in the morning on February the 17th. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in cigar humidor in the West. Espresso Joe's has the coffee that you want at prices that are just great. The service is fantastic, and Joe and Shelley support this community in so many ways, especially veterans events, school events. They are there to support River City. Okay, our guest right now. Well, and by the way, I'm joined by Mayor Missy MacArthur, and we just have like a veritable plethora of guests that are rolling through here. James Yarbrough, member of the City Council down in Anderson, and you're here to talk about the Anderson Walk of Honor donation drive for Monday.
That's right. We're going to have a drive-by and donate at the outlets in Anderson from 10 to 4, and we encourage everyone to come by and drop their money in the Army hats that we're going to be having out there with a lot of people. And then we're having a dine and donate at Mary's Pizza right there in the same location. We're also going to be having the meet and greet the great local heroes, which we will have the Vietnam era museum that's going to be there, the traveling museum, the helicopters, the jeeps. And we're just going to have a great time on Monday, rain or shine.
Yeah, we've got, you know, let's see, submarine vets, other military heroes. You can stop by and dine at Mary's and help raise money that way. She present this flyer, but you've got a number of flyers out, and you get a 20% of the sales will be donated to the Walk of Honor. This is a great thing you're doing, James.
Thank you. The neat thing, our phase one is almost done. If you noticed in the paper, our wall is up. It's 72 foot long, 22 foot high. Each section, which is seven big sections, weighed 9 tons. It was awesome. It was installed on Thursday, and that's phase one. And phase two will be building the park.
Okay, and it's located where? Between, it says here, the Firehouse Cocktail Lounge.
2911 East Center Street.
Which is a good place to find your vets.
Yes.
And Allen and Dahl Funeral Park, which is another good place to find your vets.
Right.
So, okay, I didn't mean it that way.
It's okay.
I'll tell you, this Valley Post picture is just
awesome. It's a great photo. And so they went up, and this was your idea.
Yes.
James, you can take...
It was a dream that I had a little over a year ago.
Take pride in it, yeah. Okay, well, that's great. So, okay, it's going to be again Monday?
From 10 to 4.
10 to 4.
At the Outlets in Anderson, and we'll be right in front of Mary's Pizza with all the helicopters, the jeeps, everything will be gone. But the Dine and Donate will be from open to close at Mary's Pizza.
Okay.
So you can come out any time during the day.
Great. So thank you so much for what you're doing, James.
Thanks, Carl. We appreciate it. We love our vets, and this is going to be awesome. Like one vet said, well, you know, Reading has their bridge, we have our wall.
There you go.
Okay, make sure you leave that so we can talk about it Monday, too, and or somebody can give us a call also, and we'll just remind people to go out there.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Okay, our guest today, Mayor Missy MacArthur.
And good morning.
Good morning, Missy. We have somebody on the phone. It's got a question for the mayor. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Ed. You have a question for the mayor.
Sure. Hey, it's snowing up here in PG&E territory. I've got a RU question for the mayor. I wrote a column in the Searchlight. This is Ed Merrick, and I've also showed up a few times at city council meetings.
Right.
And my concern is, since you raised... RU residential rate 7-10% in January.
Mm-hmm.
It's made the comparison even more unfavorable to RU. Right now, more than 2/3 of RU customers pay more than they would as PG&E customers. More importantly, I think more 4 out of 5 pay more than they would at a well-run public utility like SMUD. And are you and the other city council members aware of this, and you plan to do anything about it before the next increase, which I guess is about next 7-10% REU increase you voted on, which will be about 10 months away?
Okay, Ed, thanks for the question.
Well, actually, our rates are better than PG&E's, and I actually have a Siskiyou County account, which is Pacific Power, and our REU rates are better than theirs as well, so I do some comparisons. And the raises are to keep us competitive and able to buy power ahead of time at a discount rate, and we're still, even with raises that we've made, are still under market for other utilities. And I notice also Shasta Lake City's kind of facing the same problem.
Well, they just voted to raise their rates last night, it looks like, but they're going to do it on a tiered system where they're going to charge more for the reading. But then the less energy you use, if I read this right, the less energy you use, the less you get charged, which is what Ed talks about. If you're using less energy, you should be charged less. Well, but with REU, it's kind of like
and
across
actually,
the board.
We've looked at that, and it hasn't panned out in terms of consumer. Mr. Merrick might like it, but the consumers overall, I think they said they took a poll years ago, and people really wanted to keep it the same. I know that when I lived on a ranch, we had PG&E that was, you had the ag rate for some parts of it, and then you had other rates, and it really gets jumbled. And you talk about people are complaining because it's hard to understand the RU bill. You should try to understand a PG&E bill on a ranch.
Well, my REU bill seems to be pretty easy to understand. It just goes up every month. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Lindebot, good morning, 7:42 in the morning. Let's get the weather here, Bad Bob.
Indeed.
I was answering the phone, so I turned my mic down. Checking the radar once again, we got snow all around Reading, so if you're heading up into the foothills, please take that into account. Looks like it's going to get down around 1,000 feet. Shouldn't stick, though. Today's high downtown, 41 degrees, south winds out of the 8 around try that again, south winds around 8 miles an hour. And currently, downtown, 38 degrees weather, always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley's been putting in dish satellite since 1985. Give him a call at 244-1988. Doug has put in the dish system at our house, and it's been working great. Local guy, veteran, 244-1988, B&T Satellite. Give him a call, and he'll do a great job for you. Let's go to the phones. Brian.
How are you today?
Oh, turn it down. Okay. We're fine, Brian. How are you?
Hey, good. How you doing? Hey, you know, I was watching the news last night, and of course, inflation is starting to hit every key point of our living factors, especially cotton. I mean, if you think about all this, even down to the local level, inflation is starting to hit us, as you were guys were just talking about the utilities. And I just see, you know, month by month, bit by bit, man, my checks are getting smaller and smaller to the point where I am not going to have, I can't even save, I don't have any way of saving. I don't even have a savings account anymore because we can't. We went from the point to saving money 2 years ago in our bank account to the point now we live check by check now.
Do you live in Reading?
I have three kids.
Do you live in Reading, Brian?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So how's the...
I'm a teacher here in Reading.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I've watched the last 3 years now, they've raised my benefits up. They've raised all of our benefits in the school systems considerably to the point now I'm almost starting to go in the reverse, and I think next year I'm going to end up going into the reverse as far as paycheck. So, you know, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but it's just so specific, those areas that we're getting nailed by that are the most important things we need for survival. And it's just like everybody's going to be on the same plane here eventually. Nobody's going to have any savings. It's just, you know, you get your paycheck and it's gone.
Well, it'll continue to do that, Brian. And thanks so much for the phone call, and you're right. It's going to continue to do that as long as we have a government that wants to take care of everybody and continues to take our tax money and give it to people that don't belong here in the country. In the sense that they're here illegally, or they keep taking and spending on wasteful projects. On a blog yesterday that I put in the Record Searchlight, I used this a senator out of Oklahoma. It must be 100 projects. There are billions and billions of dollars that if you look at it, it's all waste, and yet your savings is gone. Other people's savings are gone, and unemployment went up again this week to 410,000. This is not good. So what are we addressing? I don't know. You know, the budget wants to cut. It's like taking 63 cents out of your $2,000 a month budget. That's what equivalent of it is in the $3.75 trillion budget. So anyway, hey, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to our guest, though. We've got another guest here. I'm sorry, Doctor, but this is Talk Radio.
So, Missy Mayer.
Missy Mayer. Mayor Missy MacArthur is here, and she's got...
Know my name.
I know that. Anyway, Mayor Missy.
Yes, I have a guest here, Dr. Andrew Deckard. He is the Shasta County Health Director.
Health Officer. Glad to be here.
How are you doing, Doctor?
Good.
And we're here talking about how salt.
We're here to talk about sodium, yes.
Sodium, okay.
But to back up, we've got to talk a little bit about what's killing Americans, which number one is heart disease, about 600,000 deaths of Americans a year, about 4 million hospitalizations. Obviously, some of that's borne by families, some by taxpayers, some by employers. So it's a very costly illness. And the same is true for stroke, our number three killer. Thousands of hospitalizations and deaths a year. And the same for kidney disease. And what all of three of those things have in common is a lot of it's due to high blood pressure. And high blood pressure, in turn, has a number of causes, one of which is excess sodium or salt in the diet. There's other things like physical activity, obesity, excess alcohol. But in terms of a easily remedied, simple solution that sometimes prevents having to take medications, lowering sodium lowers blood pressure, which in turn lowers heart attacks, stroke, and kidney disease. So... we're very interested in trying to decrease folks' sodium that would like to do that.
So the Sodium Reduction Committee got started, and they drafted me probably because I'm in politics locally, but also because I was a PA for 25 years and have a very strong interest in medicine and health. And it was pretty interesting hearing some of the statistics that Dr. Decker put out there.
One of our chat room questions is, what is the obesity rate in Redding? Do you have any idea? Also, what is the rates per capita on tobacco use in Shasta County?
Well, for adults, some latest numbers just came out from a state survey, and we're a little over 20% of adults smoking, compared to a lower rate than that, around roughly 15% or less for the state as a whole. So our smoking rates are higher, which contributes to those same diseases. Our obesity rates are about the same, which are significant, about a third obese and a third overweight. Which kind of parallels high blood pressure. About a third of adults here have diagnosed high blood pressure, and another 8% or so have undiagnosed high blood pressure. They don't know they have it because most people feel fine despite having high blood pressure. You don't realize that you have it. You don't have symptoms. And so if you add up the folks that do have high blood pressure, the folks that don't know that they have it, it's about 40% of adults. So we're talking about 58,000 Shasta County residents. It's a lot of people. There's a lot of medical cost engaged in that, as well as human suffering.
And give the statistics on how many milligrams of sodium a day people should be ingesting.
Sure. Well, let's start with what you need to survive. You need a little bit of sodium, like you need a little bit of cholesterol to run your body. So you can live on, in a reasonable climate, 100 to 200 milligrams a day for, a fudge factor for people working outside and stuff. We'll say 500 milligrams a day is a minimum. The maximum is, right now, the American Dietary Guidelines are 1,500 milligrams of sodium a day for children, for anybody over 50, for people with high blood pressure, certain kidney diseases, et cetera, and then 2,400 for all the rest. And what we actually consume has gone way up in the last three decades. It's gone up 50%, and the sodium we consume now is around 3,500 milligrams a day, when you need about 1,500 milligrams for most of us. And the reason that's happened mainly is because the amount of salt in packaged, processed, and restaurant food has gone up 50% in those same three decades. The amount of, if you take all the salt that we consume as individuals, only 5% comes from the salt shaker at the table. And the vast majority of it, 77-80%, comes from the packaged, processed food that's gotten increased over the last years.
So the sodium is is directly related to high blood pressure.
Directly.
According to the people in the chat room, one of them has situational high blood pressure. It only occurs during city council meetings. And the other one says I have radio chat room high blood pressure right now. So, okay. Hey, we got to take a break here, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, but Mayor Missy is here, Missy MacArthur, and the good doctor from our
Shasta County
Public Health Department here is telling us why we shouldn't be eating salt, or not eating salt, but be aware.
Increasing it.
Be aware of what it can do to you. Well, 7:54 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. I have Mayor Missy MacArthur's here, and we're going to go to the phones. John, we've only got a couple minutes here. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, John. Got a question
for
the mayor.
Good morning, Bob, and the good doctor. And to begin with, I would like to talk to the doctor about hyperobesity in Shasta County. It's rampant, and it seems to me that that should be a prime concern and effort by County Health Department. And if that hyperobesity was addressed and somehow brought under control, I think sodium wouldn't be an issue, neither would a whole bunch of other problems that are in the health realm.
Well, thank you for your question, John. It's a good question, and it's a big problem for our country. It's a big problem for our health, and it's a big problem for our bank accounts as a country, because it drives a lot of health care costs. So, it took us about 30 years to get to this point. It's not something that's only, genetic. Clearly, our environment has changed, and our amount of calories consumed has gone up, and our activity has stayed about the same in the last 30 years. So we need to take a look at what are the sources of some of those calories, and how can we encourage people to exercise who want to do that. And There's a lot of kind of empty and excess calories that have been added to the food supply that are hard to notice. High fructose corn syrup is one in the last 30 years. It's added to a lot of food products and adds calories. Soda consumption's gone way up. Whey milk consumption that helps build strong bones in teens when they're getting their maximum bone density laid down has gone way down. So there are a number of things that can be done and are being done, but it's a slow process.
If I can sidetrack you for just a minute, but it seems like to me that the lack of physical activity in schools for the children are adding to this problem, and those very things are being reduced in the schools, the physical activities.
Yes, physical activity is extremely important, whether a person's, you know, normal weight, overweight, obese. The physical activity independently improves people's health, and so
that's
totally support
the county
your
could have a hand in.
And we are working directly with schools and trying to improve both the nutrition and the physical activity opportunities.
Doctor, I have very limited time on these calls because I'm kind of verbose, but I need to make a segue on the high blood pressure issue to a question for Mayor MacArthur. Back to the raises that were voted on. These were not for line workers, as you're indicating there. This is not anything to keep the polls up and running. These were for management, an engineer, and a secretary, not essential workers. And we are essentially a broke, in-debt city. Even the reserve is borrowed money. Is this really the time to give raises? I'm very confused about all of this. Francie Sullivan said that it was essential that these hardworking PG&E workers deserved raises. Rick said giving these raises would make it easier to request concessions from the union. Dick told us how hard it was to manage a city and how ignorant we were and to shut up and take it. And you said you were a fiscal conservative and then voted the opposite of that position. The only one who ignored or looked past staff's recommendation on this seemed to be Patrick Jones. And we felt really sold out on this thing. How raises can be given to people making upwards of $50,000 a year when we've got 16% unemployment in this city is just unconscionable.
John, do you want Missy to have a chance to answer this one?
I do. I'm going to get off the air right now and let her to answer.
Okay, John, thanks for your phone call.
You're welcome.
Thanks, John. I think I sort of answered this earlier, but maybe I didn't, and I still stand by what I said, which is we need to be competitive. We need to keep our REU rates increasing sometimes, like we've been doing, so that we can provide the service that we're trying to do for the city. And sometimes we need to give raises, even though it flies in the face of where we are economically right now.
Okay, how much we got? What, 30 seconds left?
We're at 40, but coming
up
on 30.
I think the thing was with the you know, even with REU, but you know, when you talk about salary raises for secretaries.
Well, yeah, there was the one secretary that we did give raise to. She's an executive secretary, and there is this comparative thing that happens, and that one maybe was
okay. I'm sorry, we have to cut off right here. We've got another hour, though. This is Carl in the Box, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Mayor Missy MacArthur. We've got, any number of things coming on after this.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:05, February the 16th. Sorry, the 17th today. Linda's on assignment, but my guest host is Mayor Missy MacArthur. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. Two for $12. That's right, two meals. If you're a senior, 55 or older, you get two meals for $12 down at Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. And those meals are anywhere from pot roast dinners to roasted turkey dinner to fish of different kinds. That's right, senior menu, two for $12. 501 East Cypress, Lumberjacks, one of our good places to go to. Our guest host, Missy MacArthur, our mayor, and her guest,
Dr. Andrew Deckert, Shasta County Health Officer.
Okay, now we want to finish up by giving, you know, your phone number, how people can get a hold of you,
sure,
et cetera.
You can call us at 225-5591. And I just want to say thank you for being on the show. The science is strong about reducing sodium, reduces blood pressure. We know that everyone will benefit and get their blood pressure decreased. And on a societal level, it'll decrease cost. If we can reduce just a sixth of a teaspoon of sodium a day on average in our collective diets, then that saves $7 for every dollar spent trying to do that. And that $7 is about $18 billion in healthcare costs a year. So everyone benefits, both personally on the health side and on the money side. And then finally, food supply is the key.
Right.
Thank you very much for your time.
Well, you know, Doc, we're going to have you back on. We can spend a little bit more time with you. We can talk about this. But and the medical department that you're in, have you ever thought about, like, cornering the market on writing recommendations for medical marijuana and having the city council outlaw the rest of them, and you can make thousands of dollars a week doing that?
Haven't thought of that.
Okay.
Thank you for the idea.
That's okay. Hey, doctor, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we do want to have you back on. We can talk on sodium and those other nasty little things that is causing so much of a problem.
Okay, thank you very much,
you
Carl.
Bet.
Thank you, Missy.
Okay, you know, Missy, we've had just, you know, I can't even begin to tell you, you know, we've had to spray the computer twice with the fire extinguisher as it's coming through here. And while I'm gathering up the questions one more time, Bob, tell us what the weather is.
Well, while it's warm in here, certainly not warm outside. Right now, 38 degrees. Today's high should be about 41 degrees. We've got snow every direction except due south. Don't look for it to stick down to the valley floor, though. The level's about 1,000 feet, so if you're going traveling, keep that in mind. Not much in the way of wind. Showers likely tonight and then tapering off somewhat tomorrow. Right now, 38 degrees, as I said, and weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Great. Missy, some of the questions coming in here, I mean, there's a lot of people having to cut back because the economy here, our unemployment here in Reading is well over 15%. So they're talking about having to cut back on their costs of doing business, et cetera, et cetera. Question also coming up about the charter city. Now, you voted against the concept of the charter city.
No, I did not.
I'm sorry.
What I voted was that I wanted to get more information before we move forward with a commission, because that, in fact, that commission is, we've allocated $5,000 that we don't have to study the issue, and, in fact, I'm sure it will be much more than $5,000.
What's the 3-2 vote then? I'm sorry, I must have
misunderstood. No, I voted, let's not start that commission right now.
Okay.
I voted, I want more information. Let's try and explore this ourselves. I didn't say...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, so the 3-2 vote with Dickerson and Bassetti and Jones said, no, let's appoint the committee and let them do that.
Right. And I said, wait, let's try and explore this a little more ourselves before we go spend $5,000 that we don't have.
Okay. All right. So what was your... Okay, do you believe the commission should eventually be set
well,
up?
I don't know that we couldn't have figured it out on our own without establishing a commission, which uses, again, dollars we don't have. I mean, there are five of us. There are 10 on the commission. I think that it's wonderful that we've established it. It's just that it costs a lot of money that we don't have.
So you are not opposed to a charter city? You just want more information
to make a decision.
I'm
not pro or con at this point on that concept. I'm waiting to hear now what the commission says. They're going to do the job that I was thinking that we were going to be doing.
Okay, and we got to take a break. But who would have done the study? Would it have been you and the other council members, or would it have been the staff?
All of the above. I mean, I think that we're all capable of reading and researching. I would hope that all five councilors are capable of doing that.
Okay. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Botland is not here. Our guest host, Mayor Missy MacArthur. And we've got more guests coming here. And we've got a gent coming in at 8:30 that is one of President Ronald Reagan's right-hand men when he was governor, and then is an author who's written several books about President Reagan. ...1460, home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's getting ready for her show tonight on the spot with Linda Bott. 8:13 in the morning, February the 17th. Our guest host is Mayor Missy MacArthur, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. finest walk-in cigar humidor, possibly, in the entire West. And then Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee you want at prices that are fair, in any kind of coffee you can think of. Then you can buy pounds of exotic beans right there, and they'll show you how to use those coffee machines that they have for sale. Joe and Shelley, Tobacco and Brew, support our community, support the veterans. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Missy. There's somebody on the phone wants to ask you a question. Gary, okay. Good morning.
Oh, hi,
good
Gary.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much. And I direct this to Mayor MacArthur. Maybe you remember while you were serving soup at the Vets Hall a couple months ago, I said to you, you know you're doing a good job if half the people are mad at you all the time?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say probably 90% plus of the people are mad at the city council. So what does that tell you? Anyway, going on, council's decision Tuesday night and others gives impetus for a charter city so the people can vote on raises. So that's a good thing regarding the votes and the attitude of some on the city council. And in the paper, you use comparisons. Let me give you some comparisons. How about teachers who supervise 20 to 35 students per hour and plus have to teach them? And I don't think they're making $140,000 a year with bennies. So your comparison falls on deaf ears. And like the previous call, other than the secretary, I'll grant that raise. The others, they're non-essential. And Dickerson's and others, the worn-out excuse about increases are needed for recruitment in the job market. In this job market, if people don't want to work for a certain amount, then leave it unfilled. We've had to do it in education when I was there. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. I'll take my replies on the air. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary.
Well, Gary, how's your basketball game? That's what I was wanting to ask you. He used to play basketball years ago. My mom was a teacher, so I can identify with everything he's saying about teachers have pretty stressful jobs these days. I feel like I've sort of already answered this, and I've answered it all night Tuesday night. And
I just think, Missy,
and I hear him saying everybody's angry.
People are because they're seeing this.
I get it.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, we're seeing that we're another $2 million in a hole. We're up, and then all of a sudden we're giving raises to people that are already making over $100,000 a year. We got other people that are making $86,000, and you know, okay, the secretary. You know what? I like her. She's a great person. She probably runs the place. And she's Kurt Starman's secretary, so she gets a raise. I've got nothing against that, because you're right. That's down on the food chain there. But this is what people are angry about, and it's not just a few. And I mean, just
I understand that they're very angry. And trust me, I got that too.
Yeah, and then when we say we can't spend $5,000 on a commission after we've just given raises to these people. Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say these people. These are, you know, and don't misunderstand.
The $5,000, though, we could have done that on our own.
Well,
we didn't need to establish a commission. We could have done that.
Well, we've established commissions before about REU, about the things they were doing, and the commission was established. 6 months later, it came back out with a report and then was ignored. You know, so maybe we don't need a commission if what they're going to say is going to be ignored. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's just, you know, that one thing of all. That happened Tuesday, I think, has just got people excited. Anyway, but we have a guest. We have a guest here. They came, and not to get caught in the middle of a firestorm. So,
this is Jason Burris, and he is the general manager of the Redding Heat.
Good morning.
You want to tell him what the Redding Heat is, Jason?
The Redding Heat is now our local semi-pro football team here in Redding.
Okay, now you're just not just somebody just walked in with a semi-pro football team. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You've got a couple other businesses you're rolling through here.
Yeah, I own NorCal Granite and Tile with my brother, based in Anderson, California. And I also partially own Capone's Speakeasy downtown with Kenny Breedlove.
Nice place.
Yeah.
It is a nice place.
It turned out really nice.
Yeah, it is.
So.
I mean, I like the... I like the attitude down there.
Yeah, it put a nice little facelift on downtown.
Of course, so. When I walk in there, I raise the average age by 10 years, but still, I still like it there.
Oh, we accommodate all age groups.
Yeah.
That's the best part about it.
Okay, tell us about, why the need for a semi-pro football team?
Because we don't have one. People that love football in the North State Chico State doesn't have a football program anymore. Shasta College has one. And ironically, majority of the players that play on our team went through Shasta College and played there and then went on to four-year universities or played in high school. So we have about 50 guys on our roster.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing? 50 guys.
Well, no, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there. They still remember. They remember the way it was, and they don't remember the pulled hamstrings. They don't remember the when you see yellow because you get hit so hard, you know, so everything kind of turns yellow outside.
Yeah, there's a wide range of ages. We have from 20 to 44 on the team.
That's great.
It's just been a good opportunity for us to have football here in the off season because our season starts in March. On March 19th is our first game in Richmond. And then we have four home games, which will be at UPrep High School here in Reading. So it's a great opportunity for guys to continue to play, love the game. It's also an opportunity for us that love football to give back to our community. We did a Toys for Tot drive. One of the ladies who's affiliated with the team, her grandson, was at the McDonald House.
Mm-hmm.
So we gathered up about 400 toys, sent those down for all the children. And, you know, we want to be a community-based team. We want to be a team that the community can really rally around, that we're not just a bunch of guys that go play football on Saturdays, that we're guys that really care. And if there's an event or something that they need help with, they can give us a call, and we'll come and we'll help and volunteer our time.
It's kind of the same basis we have here at KCNR. We're a community radio station, and, you know, we back the community. So I think that's a great premise you have. And how much are tickets to go in and watch you guys, you know, bang on each other there?
This year there'll be $5. Children under 10 are free. We really want families to come out and have a good time. It's a good quality football.
Bad Bob wants to know if there's beer being served.
No, that's one of the things you can't do on a high school campus. Believe me, we checked into it. So.
Okay, now, so when's the season going to start again?
Season starts March 19th in Richmond. Our first home game will be the following week, March 26th, against the Yuba City Thunder here at UPrep High School at 6:30.
Well, you need to come in here that week, early that week, and
okay.
Give us a call, and we'll talk it up, maybe bring a couple players in. Some of these guys that are from locals around here, I'd like to get that 44-year-old guy in here.
Well, I'm close. I'm 41.
Oh, okay. So you're playing. Oh, you're playing then.
Yeah. I also started inside linebacker. So.
Okay.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Okay. Well, yeah. But bring a couple of players in here and let's talk about the game and you know why they're playing. And, I mean, you're a leader, obviously, and you want to get this thing started. But you know the other players. You know.
Love to. Yeah. I know that they would jump at the chance to be able to promote the team and what they're doing.
Absolutely.
So we went out and. It's good quality. You put a good product out, people will come and watch.
Absolutely. And no, you go out, they have a good time and watch. You know, I mean, I think people get tired of jaded pros, or even sometimes the colleges are a little jaded by that point. But you get guys now that come out and play at this age and at this time in their life, they love the game.
Yeah, and they pay to play. These guys aren't paid. This is their own time. They pay to be out there to have a good time. So I appreciate you having me in today, and we'll definitely come back.
Come back the week of the game, and we'll talk about it and talk that thing up and talk with some other players. Say thank you so much for coming
for
in
the
today.
Time.
Thanks, Mayor. This was good.
Bet.
It's Carl, Linda, Bob. We got to take a break, and we come back. Sue, we will get to your question as soon as we come back. Oklahoma Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:25, February the 17th. It's 38 degrees out there. It's raining. It's snowing. It's not a good day. If you're heading north, you might want to keep that in advisement. This portion of the show brought to you by Mike's Music on Cypress Avenue. Mike's, not only do they sell instruments, they give great lessons, very professional. They will teach you how to use every instrument that you can buy down there. They have studios that you can use. The number there is 243-3774. It's Mike's Music. It's family owned. We support them. They support the community. Our guest for the rest of this segment here is Jason Burris, who, besides having just regular businesses here in town, including part owner of Capone's, which is a great little speakeasy down there, has brought semi-pro football back here to Reading.
Yeah, it's we're getting really excited.
Okay, now you're going to be playing at UPrep Your tickets are like $5
yeah.
a person, under 10 are free. This is no big money maker for the players. You're not going to have to worry too much about big signing bonuses because you're kind of like...
Yeah, no lockouts. We got no lockouts.
I mean, do you get like a free beer at your place afterwards, the ones that, you know, that can walk?
Yeah, yeah, we'll take care of the players.
What about medical attention? Who pays for that?
They do.
They do.
Yeah, we have what similar to Aflac, so in case we get hurt.
Well, you got 40-year-olds running around banging into 20-year-olds. Have you thought about this?
Yeah, I broke 4 ribs last year.
Now, I tell you, I stopped playing for the Marine Corps when I was 28 years old when I realized I was running into 19-year-old linebackers that weighed 250 and could run twice as fast as me. Okay, now how do they get more information?
You can go to thepcfl.com. That's the name of the league. It's the Pacific Coast Football League. You can also go to our website, which is theredingheat.com. It has links for our practices, which we practice on Wednesday nights and Saturdays at noon. Wednesdays are at 7 to 9 at UPrep High School, and on Saturdays it'll be from noon to 2 at UPrep High School. So we're always looking for more players. We're trying to definitely, you know, keep up the ranks. So if anybody's interested and able-bodied and wants to come out and give it a go, there's no charge for tryouts. You're more than welcome to come out and see what you got.
When are your practices for tryouts?
Same times. Anybody can come out at those times and participate and decide if this is something they really want to do.
You know, I just love it. No, I love this because it's, you know, it's a community, and it's, you know, it's a bunch of our neighbors running out and playing football because they love it.
Yeah.
Do you have cheerleaders?
Missy,
you're out there cheerleading?
No, not.
Are you
not
out there
me.
Shaking pom poms?
No.
Okay. The mayor is too above this one to be a cheerleader.
Oh, no, I'm sponsoring.
No, sponsoring. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you don't have cheerleaders?
No, not this year. We held a tryout and some information. It was a little too late in the season, you know. So
I wish I could have seen that.
Yeah, it didn't quite
maybe
work
Linda,
out.
Maybe Linda will be a cheerleader.
I just wish I could have seen that.
No, the guys on the team are from all walks of life in our community. Some of them, such as Brandon Katniss, is in the Shasta Football Hall of Fame. You know, so he was inducted this year. So
that's cool.
Our quarterback was the league MVP, Ben Weaver, who also he works at Bert and Ernie's and coaches at Shasta College. So we have quite a few different guys out there that are good quality. And that's the thing that I want everybody to know. This is not a bunch of guys that are playing a turkey bowl game for Thanksgiving. These are, you know, football players that know how to play the game. We made the playoffs in our very first year last year against teams that have been there for 10 years.
Okay. All right, Jason, thanks a lot. Jason Burris, the Heat, coming in here with the semi-pro. And Valerie, we're going to get to your question as soon as we get back from this break. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Now I'm straight. Okay, Valerie, the reason
that
you...
one-minute sign.
Oh, that was a one-minute sign. I thought it was a 30-second sign. Okay, Valerie, the reason that there is a non-resident on the charter committee, Mayor...
Okay. It's in the bylaws of the City of Reading that we can have citizens that not only live here but maybe work or own a business here. So Erin Ryan is, I assume, who she's referring to, or Chris Darker, who's also outside the city limits. And Erin, as everybody knows, does business here in the City of Reading.
Right. So as long as you have a business here you can do it, even if
yes.
you live in Palisadro.
Correct.
I hope that answers that question, Valerie, because that's come up before. Okay, we've got to take a break. We come back. We've got on as a guest somebody that was working with President Reagan and is going to be a guest speaker here this weekend in the city. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight. My guest host is Mayor Missy MacArthur, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off of Athens Avenue. Great haircuts, great prices. The guys there give discounts to veterans. And, gents, it's man's last stronghold. Go down there, you get a great haircut, don't worry about styling. That's Cypress Square Barbershop. Great haircuts, great prices. On the line, we have Mr. Peter Hannaford. And Mr. Hannaford is going to be the guest speaker at the Shasta County Republican Central Committee on February 19th, this Saturday. And he was worked with Governor Reagan, Ronald Reagan, in 1971. He was vice chairman of the Governor's Consumer Fraud Task Force. When Mr. Reagan left office in early January 75, Mr. Hannaford and Michael Deaver, another senior aide, formed a new public affairs and public relations firm in Los Angeles with Mr. Regan. For the next 5 years, they managed his public program in his office. At the 1980 Republican National Convention, he was in charge of the writing and research office. And upon the president's election, both Adever and Hannaford could not join him, so Mr. Hannaford stayed and ran the business, and Michael Adever went to D.C. Mr. Hannaford is an author of 9 books, 7 of which are about presidents, and 5 of them about Ronald Reagan. Sir, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
And, sir, you're going to be here on this Saturday and talking to the Shasta County Republican Central Committee. And it's going to be, the supporters are going to be celebrating Lincoln and Reagan's birthdays with jelly beans and jazz.
All combined, yes.
Well, you know,
looking forward to it.
Well, you know, sir, there's been so much on TV and, you know, the cable channels about the 100th birthday of the president. And it's just been, it seems like it's been real positive. Your take, I know you've written, you were friends and you've written a number of books on the president. What would you say is his most important part of his legacy?
Well, I think in terms of issues, there were 3 things that he worked very hard for as president. One was to bring a successful conclusion to the Cold War, which he achieved. He also wanted to get the economy back on track because it was seriously going off the rails, and he did through across-the-board tax cuts and other measures. And the third was to curb the growth and the reach of the federal government. And he succeeded to some extent in that, not as much as he'd hoped.
You know, it was, I saw on a documentary on the president that he was aloof from most people, that yet he had a warmth that came across. Yet he would, you know, a lot of people didn't know really what he was thinking a lot of times that were working with him.
Well, that's true. He was a very affable man to one and all, and he was the same man off the podium as he was on, I can assure you of that. On the other hand, he was also very private in many respects, and he kept his own counsel often.
Your theme, when you're talking this weekend, is there? Could you talk a little bit about your theme of your speech?
Well, I guess the theme is that despite the fact he would have been 100 years old if he were still with us, his ideas are still young and fresh and invigorating, and that's the way people think of him.
It seems like that he is still admired. That when you look at the during the presidential run-up debates and all that, that Ronald Reagan's name was used a lot by both sides.
That's right. Everybody seems to want to be his successor.
Do you follow politics closely now, Mr. Hannaford?
Well, I follow it. I'm not in it, but I'm following it. And
what do you think about what's going on with, if you don't mind me asking, on the Republican Party? Do you see anybody that might be able to carry the mantle of Ronald Reagan?
Well, not precisely, but there are anywhere from 12 to 18 potential candidates, and I think in the next few months we'll see that group sort of shaking out. As people begin to announce their candidacy. Certainly, in most of the polls, Romney seems to lead, but Huckabee has a pretty good ranking, so Sarah Palin does, the most recent polls I've seen anyway. Newt Gingrich does, then there's several governors, sitting governors, Mitch Daniels, Tom Pawlenty, Haley Barbour, for example. Yesterday, Chris Christie gave a speech in Washington, which got a lot of attention, and he insists he's not going to be a candidate, but people keep talking about it. So there are quite a few of them there, and I think quite a few, any one of several, could be a good candidate.
Mr. Hannaford, my co-host today is the mayor of Reading, Missy MacArthur. Now, she's got a question for you.
Good morning, sir.
Okay.
I was wondering, are you seeing the Tea Party and the Republican Party working closer and closer together as time goes on?
Well, I think the Tea Party was a great impetus. Its work was a great impetus for the program that the Republicans are pursuing in Congress today. They're back to their roots of economic sensitivity, and realism. And this was very much a result of the efforts of the Tea Party, I think. So it was a very positive force, and I think should continue to be. I don't see them sitting down every Monday and planning together what they're going to do. I think the fact is that their views are quite congruent, and most Tea Partiers voted for Republican candidates in November.
When you've written 7 books, I believe, on presidents, and of course 5 on Ronald Reagan, but you obviously studied the qualities that makes for a successful president. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think a very important characteristic a president has to have is determination to carry out the goals he sets for himself. Now, first of all, he has to determine what those goals are and make it clear that they are his goals, not hide them. And he's got to keep it to a few. One of Reagan's great strengths was that he had 3 main goals. He didn't have 15 or 20. Of course, he had to deal with other issues. Presidents do. But he had 3 main goals. He never forgot them. Those were always central to everything he did. And he had tremendous determination and drive to see them through. People often didn't see that because he was seemingly so affable and all. But the fact was he had steely determination. And the president has to, 1, know what his goals are, 2, spell them out for the public, and 3, have the determination to carry them through.
And do you think that, and this is, of course, an opinion, right now we have a young president that is serving. Do you think he's made his goals clear about what his major goals are?
I don't think he's made it clear, but I think it has become clear. His principal goal is to put all trust and faith in the federal government. He doesn't trust business, no matter what he says. He doesn't trust it. His actions prove that. And he always wants to have the government do more things because he trusts it to do it right. His most recent budget is a good example of that.
And the latest budget with the cuts that they're talking about really are just a drop in the bucket, and it's going to lead to worse things, it appears.
Well, the cost of the budget, if it were to be adopted, is catastrophic. We would end up as being beggars to the Chinese and other holders of our treasury notes before very long at the rate Obama wants to go.
I see. Hey, so we're going to have to take a quick break here. I hope we can hold you on to the other side for a couple minutes and talk again about your you being here on Saturday. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:44 in the morning on February the 17th. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment waiting for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Our guest host is Mayor Missy MacArthur, and our guest, Mr. Peter Hannaford, who's going to be speaking at the Republican dinner we have here, and they're going to be, that'll be Saturday.
I'll be there at the Lincoln Day dinner.
Yeah.
Will you and Linda?
We're going to be there, and because anything we're invited to, we go to all sides. We go Democrats and Republicans. And the guest speaker, keynote speaker, will be Mr. Peter Hannaford, who was Reagan's public relations expert and author of 5 books on the subject of Reagan's political career. But let's switch politicians here for a minute, sir. Jerry Brown, part 2. What's your
part 2.
Yeah, part 2. So what's your opinion on what's going on here?
Well, he's learned a lot over the years, and it's not the same Jerry Brown who governed the first time around. He's put forward a very, I think, well-crafted and probably clever plan where he said, I want to put various taxes that are due to expire on a ballot, on a special election ballot this summer, and have the people vote if they want to decide to extend them for another 5 years, so that we can afford to pay for a lot of programs. And if they vote no, then we're going to have to make the following cuts. And he runs off rather a long list of draconian measures. And he's hoping the people, when faced with those choices, will vote yes. First, though, he has to get a 2/3 vote of the legislature to get that on the ballot. And quite a number of the Republicans are saying they are not going to vote to put it on the ballot because they think that would be breaking faith with the people. from the first time around when these taxes were due to expire. So there's going to be a big battle over that one coming forth. The one major thing that Brown has not yet done is, and what several governors across the country have already done, is come forth with a plan to have a more rational and economical pension and health care system for public employees, state employees, and other public employees. The fact is, Brown, when he was first governor back in the 70s, is the one who put out the order to permit collective bargaining by public employee unions. And ever since then, they have become really the largest cluster of special interests in the state. And they have a tremendous amount of money to spend, and they spend it almost entirely on Democratic legislators who may be philosophically attuned to them to begin with, but certainly are when they get these large contributions. So they've got almost a captive audience there in the legislature, and they have gotten increasingly more generous pensions as the years have gone on, to which very little contribution is made by the members, same with their health care plan. That has got to change. Brown has not mentioned this as yet, and interestingly, Brown is the one person who could probably get those public employees to go along with reforms.
And that's an interesting point. I believe you're right, because I think that people would see him almost as an honest broker, if you could say those words about that. And we're facing that right here in River City here in Reading, is that we've the big hot issue is the CalPERS. And the, yes. And we had a ballot measures here that voted in by huge majorities is to have union or the city workers pay their CalPERS and pay into their medical. So that's, I mean, this was like a 70% and a 60% vote. So, which was well above the votes in other areas here. So I think people here in California have said we can't continue like this. Something's got to be done.
That's right. I think public opposition to the current system has been growing. Whether it's big enough to force Brown's hand on this, I can't say. It's too early to say. But I certainly hope it becomes the case. Because that's one area. It's not the only thing we have to do, but it's certainly one important area where we need to have serious reform.
Well, sir, we really appreciate you being on today. And Mr. Hannaford is going to be speaking at the Shasta County Republican Central Committee. And they're going to be talking, celebrating Lincoln and Reagan's birthdays with jelly beans and jazz on Saturday, February 19th at Anderson Community Center. And there's going to be music. The Jelly Belly Company is providing President Reagan's favorite jelly beans for everyone. So I didn't know he had favorite ones. I guess he did, huh? So, sir, thank you so much for being on, and I can't wait to meet you Saturday.
Yeah, we're looking forward
to
it.
See you there. Thank you very much.
You bet, sir. Thanks very much. Peter Hannaford.
Bye.
Okay, now.
Wow.
Just to, just to throw this out, and now we've got about another minute before the break, and then another 6 or 7 minutes, and the mayor is still here. Something I saw that in the state of Wisconsin, who was the first state to give comprehensive collective bargaining law in 1959 to their unions, is now voting to do away with the unions.
I know.
Marching. You talk about marches on the Capitol, and the news is seeking passage of the nation's most aggressive anti-union proposal, which is moving swiftly through the GOP legislature.
It's really going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well,
that's
because they were the first ones to start the unions, and now they're saying, hey, you know what? We can't live with that anymore.
Yeah.
And this is not making a statement about unions
sure
or not. It's just, that's interesting.
States will be watching how that comes
out. Yeah, what kind of lawsuits and all that. But what they've said is, fine, there's no more unions in public employees like that. Hey, got to take a break. Carl and DeBott, our guest host, Mayor Miss MacArthur. And we've got lots of questions here, so we'll just jump right back into those again.
No, I won't back down.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:53 in the morning. Hey, Linda's not here today. She's getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bott. And tonight she's going to be giving away, or she's going to be taking names for tickets for the Rat Pack is back. She's opening for the for that show down at the convention center, and she's got two tickets that she's going to give away in a week. She's going to start taking names, and we'll start taking names every day, to come along and be our guest as we go there and photo ops and all that kind of thing with the Rat Pack. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. They've just moved to 1345 Liberty Street. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite, does a great job. He's a veteran. Give him a call, 244-1988. 244-1988. Our guest host is Mayor Missy MacArthur, and we've just had a busy show. Missy brought some guests, and we had some other ones on here, so we've had to kind of like mold them and manage all of them in here.
I'd like to just make a comment or two. One of the things that seems to be a perception out there, and of course perception becomes reality to a certain extent, the perception is that the five city council people don't think for themselves, that all the thinking is done by staff. It's obviously not the case. We all think through things and we come up with our different viewpoints. We all have a different viewpoint most of the time. Even if we're voting together, it's maybe for a different reason. If we're saying, well, I'm voting yes or I'm voting no, and we're all voting no, the no reason may be a different reason. And it seems like there's kind of almost a sense of staff is a four-letter word out there. And staff isn't a four-letter word. It's
a five-letter word.
Necessary. You need staff. You have to get things done. The business, the day-to-day business of the city has to be done by staff, not five city council people. We aren't going to go clean the streets and, you know,
well,
do
think,
the day-to-day
think,
business.
Yeah.
So there's...
I agree with that. You need the staff. You need a good staff.
And it's almost like the staff is being vilified.
What?
And that needs to not happen. I understand that there has been way too much in the benefit packages, and we're curbing that now. And we've done it, and we've had a hard line with that. We're making it happen. It's a slow process. You have to wait for contracts to open. And I understand that these few raises that we did last week are just like, they're like
gasoline on a fire.
Absolutely, torching a dynamite stick or something.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's this, if you buy a new car, say you buy a new Ford 150, all of a sudden you see Ford 150s all over the place. You're noticing them. If you buy a new red dress, you see red dresses everywhere. Well, if you are looking for conspiracy, all of a sudden you're seeing conspiracies everywhere. It becomes a mindset to look for certain things because you think that's happening, and you kind of have to get beyond that and start looking to solutions and ways of improving our community. And that's why I brought in, you know, the young lady from the Crossing. I brought in Dr. Decker so people can get healthier, bringing in Jason Burris, a new Reading Heat football team. I think these are positives, and we need to start, instead of always looking at the negative, start turning it around if we can. If people can start saying, okay, what am I going to do good? Instead of just complain and just be angry. And I understand they're angry. And I understand people are still financially really, really struggling. I'm not blind. I can see it all around me, and I feel horrible for those people that are really struggling. But nevertheless, we do have to keep up going with the business, the day-to-day business of the city of Reading.
And I don't think there's any argument with that. I mean, we need the garbage to be picked up. We need the police on the street. We need fire. You know, we're closing fire stations here. We need these things to go on all the time. And again, you know, what I see is that the fact is that the city government and the amount of pay they make, in some cases, not everybody, I'm not talking to everybody here, so you know, don't get crazy, but there's some people, it's just so far over the top for the city of Reading. And yet, and then when something like this happens with the raises, and it's not clearly explained, and then people get there, and then people on the council make comments, I'm not saying who it is, or, you know, I wasn't there, but I get this from a lot of people. It just infuriates people. It just infuriates them that they're being talked down to. They're looking for a place to blame, and unfortunately, it's when you're sitting up there, that's what's going to happen now.
And I don't mind if they direct their anger at me at the council. I do take exception when they're angry at staff because they're there to speak to us. If they want to speak to staff, then they probably should make an appointment. And I know that they feel like, well, it's our right, our freedom of speech. But really, there's some decorum. We're being laughed at in Dunsmuir that are watching our videos. People are saying, wow, look at all the clapping and craziness going on at your city council meetings.
Well, there may be
and
a reason that people
speech,
are getting... Yeah, but there,
and I understand
there's a reason people are getting excited, though.
Right, but and like I tried to say Tuesday, it's not a football game. It's more like a courthouse. But, you know, on the other hand, I believe in freedom of speech. So I made that comment once at city council, and I won't again.
Okay. All right. Mayor, thanks a lot for coming on. I know it's tough coming on. We had a lot of guests and all that, but you've, you know, there's a lot of questions. And we'll have you back on again. We have a little more time, and we can discuss a couple other questions. It's Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Our guest tomorrow is going to be Dr. Adams. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR, Shasta Reddick.
Fox News. Lisa Brady. It's a sign of the cash-strapped times. Protesters descending on the Wisconsin state capitol. Fox Radio's Jennifer Kuiper live in Madison.
Lisa, every floor here and the rotunda of the Wisconsin state capitol are packed. You cannot even walk through this area. Many families have shown up now that schools in Madison have been canceled for a second day. Teachers, prison guards, and other state workers are upset with Governor Scott Walker's budget plan to end collective bargaining for most public employees. They also don't like that they may have to pay more towards benefits and their pension. Lisa?
Jennifer, bipartisan talk on the federal budget.
And we've got to work together and meet in the middle.
But California Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer says Republicans want to go too far.
We're going to do everything that we can to cut spending.
House Speaker John Boehner expecting a vote soon on a plan slashing $61 billion from the current budget. The House votes again to extend key provisions of the Patriot Act. Fox Radio.